Welcome back, everybody, to Bat and Spider, episode 160. Man, I am just like, I feel like I'm eating the microphone right now. Yeah. I can't even stand it.
God, you just downed you're the energy coming off you, beaming. You're like a neck with sunshine coming out of it.
That's a that's what we need on the next t-shirt. Chuck. I was first, you know what? I got to rein it in first.
All right.
This episode, we watched a movie called The Black Sleep from 1956. Mm. Mm. Friend of the show, Pertalexis.
Whoa.
He says, incredible concept. Black Sleep is very metal. It took me until the final scene to figure out which character Bela Lugosi was. Looks very different without his vampiric collar. It's true.
Rest in peace. He was hanging on by a thread.
When you see him, like, spoilers, in this movie, Bela is mute. And you just see that hole for a mouth he has. Mm. And he's just pretending like... He's not even pretending to talk. He's just opening and closing his mouth like a fish out of water.
Yeah.
Like a bass, like a largemouth bass, just moving his mouth in it up and down.
The disrespect on display for these legends in this movie, except for Basil.
We're going to get into it.
We'll get into it.
To be honest with you, because it's the movie we picked. Yeah. but now that I'm done reining it in, yes, I am sunshine with a neck?
Incarnate.
Yeah. What you said?
You're beaming. Oh, you, I don't know. Me. You just, when you hit that's record, me. You turned it on. I don't know what's in that liquid death or what. What's going on there?
This episode's sponsored by Liquid Death Sparkling Water, straight from the Alps. Murder your thirst. And Chuck, when I hit record, I had to turn it up because, like, honestly, for the past 4 hours, I'm like, what is this show going to be about tonight? What can I bring to the table? And it's like the Monday morning dread that I have. Yeah. It's the Monday dread. How can I bring something to the table where people are going to want to keep downloading and listening this stupid show? Right?
Yeah.
Is that how you feel on Mondays?
Usually about 10 minutes. Actually, right when we get on our call and we're dilly-dallying, we're getting ready. That's when I'm like, well, I have nothing to talk about. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. I sure hope Dale has something up his sleeve because I don't.
Yeah. A little behind the scenes, as soon as we hop on the call together, we hop on the collab session, Chuck and I could literally stare at each other and not say a word. And neither of us would egg each other on to hit record because it's almost like we could really not hit record. We could just decide to just push it off for a night.
Yeah. Do we have to let them listen? Do we just have the fun part?
And then one of us, And then one of us would be like, should we hit record? Should we start? And that's when, you know, I gotta go because if not, we don't have a show. We don't have a show if I don't go.
It's funny how it changes too. Cause I'll gather my beverages I need for the show to keep my throat moist. I'll kiss Melissa and say, I'll see you later. Love you, honey. And in my head, I'm like, all right, I'm going to make Dale. We're going to hit record right away. Get this thing done. We're only going to spend an hour on the phone on the call.
All right.
This is going to be a fast night. I'm going to be out so quick. I hang out with Melissa again before she goes to bed. But no, as soon as I sit down and I see her face, I'm just like, we're jawing. Mm-hmm. We're making faces. Yeah,
we're jawing.
We're singing songs to each other.
That's literally what we do before we hit record.
Yeah.
You're right. I could be, if tops, we could be done in an hour and 10 minutes. Yeah, tops.
We could.
And I could still go downstairs and do whatever I need to do, laying in bed. I could turn on, I could just have my iPad in front of my fat face. Yeah. With my headphones in, I could do whatever I wanted, but no. We drag this out.
But it's love though. It's love.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, that's what I meant to follow up with. Yeah, because like we would literally just sing to each other for a half hour. Yeah.
It's a weird thing. Yeah.
Like we started doing with Mungo Jerry tonight.
Yeah. I will never forget who does that song now. It's Mungo Jerry. You know what song's been in my head?
And that's what we do. What song would you never forget, Chuck? You go.
This has been in my head the last couple of days. It showed up in my algorithm. It said, hey, you might want to listen to this album. And I was like, I don't know if I've ever listened to this album. I certainly know one song from this album. And the chorus goes like this. Let me see if I can do it. I don't know if it's a pretty great tune. Who sucked out the feeling? Who sucked out the feeling? Does that ring a bell? I did not do it justice, FY.
Is that,
say,
super?
Yeah, close. Yeah. I knew it. God, I knew it. I knew you would.
Super. It's not Super Chunk. It's not Super Chunk. I knew that, but I don't know.
Super Drag.
Super Drag.
What a song. You put that on in the middle of the day and you're over 40 years old. You're going to have pep in your step. You're going to be like, I was there. I was there when that was thrown into the buzz bin. I was there. I saw that. I heard that on 105 point whatever, The Edge. I heard that. Mm-hmm. You know,
it just hits different when you hear songs from your time. It hits different, you know, it.
Yeah.
That's why my Spotify is just like, oh, 90s boy is back.
90s boy is back.
Here he comes.
Let's get the Super Drag out and the Not a Surf.
Yeah. 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 Exactly. What else? I tell you, I can tell you why I might be a little bit more peppy in my steppy.
What's that?
My posture, Chuck.
Yeah. What are you doing here? Is this a new thing?
You know,
do you have a new chair? Did you get spine surgery?
I guess technically, yes, I do have a chair.
You got some rods put in there.
Technically, I do have a new chair, but it is a folding. It was a folding chair, and my ass is currently a piece of flat hard wood.
No,
because
are you in like a lawn chair?
I'm in like a Costco folding chair. Look at this.
Oh God, we got to hurry up and finish this.
See that back there?
Yeah, I see that. What's that? That new?
No, that's my chair. Oh, okay. That's my computer chair.
What happened to it
back there? Well, here's what old Dale says. You know. I sit and I work at a desk all day long.
Yeah.
And nobody chime in and say, I need to get a standing desk because I'm not going to get a standing desk.
God, no.
So stop typing. So stop DMing me at Discord right now. But I said, I got to do something about this. I need to get, instead of working today, I need to spend 8 hours on ergonomics. So.
Okay. What does that mean? That's research and development that you're doing?
Yes, why I can still justify getting paid for it, yes. Ultimately, what they're basically telling you to do is, Chuck, you put your hands down at your sides.
Okay, I'm doing it.
And only lift up your forearms, like keep your elbows where they are.
Okay.
Now, lay your forearms on your desk. Your elbow should be at a 90 degree angle.
I might have to move my desk down a little bit. Okay.
Right.
Oh. See, I have a standing desk, but I don't use it to stand. I just use it to...
I just heard your motors and gizmos.
Different levels. Okay, I'm there.
They're basically... What after 8 hours of ergonomics is telling me?
Yeah.
You don't move your arms. Don't waste any muscles supporting your arms in any way. Just flop your hands in front of you at a 90 degree angle and use your keyboard. So however low your desk has to be in order for you to accomplish a 90 degree angle is how low it has to be. Wow. So I said, I'm going to lower my desk.
Okay. And now your chair won't fit under it.
My chair won't fit under it now.
Damn.
So now, and when I work, I'm at the crease of the L shape. I'm like in the angle. So that's even worse because the arms of my chair won't let me get up to where I need to be. So I'm like hunched over.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is going to be challenging now for me. I don't know if I can... See, I almost feel like I have a reverse hunch. Like if I was sitting like this all day, I feel like I'm bending the other way. You know what I mean?
That's how bad your posture is.
Probably, yeah. So
You're like Zelda from Pet Sematary over there with that back of yours.
I mean, honestly, this feels pretty good. I'm enjoying this, putting in the effort of maintaining this position, actually. Let me tell you what my problem is. And I don't doubt that it is messing up my lower back, which is a mess. I cannot sit in this chair or many other chairs without squirming and adjusting myself, mainly to get my feet under my butt, especially when I'm at, at this desk. Especially if I'm like not typing or if I'm just like, if I'm on a call or if I'm leaning back watching something, you know.
Business calls.
I just can't, like, I almost wish I had like a really mean stepdad who would come in here and like tie my knees together, you know? That's what I need.
Right.
I need some tough love.
That's the only way.
Yeah.
Cause you're not going to do it yourself. I got news for you. That's why I'm day three of sitting at this folding chair.
Wow. You're on day three.
I'm trying to tough love myself into appreciating.
This is huge. I can't believe you buried the lead.
And then I'm like Googling.
Yeah. I'd be Googling
office chairs.
I wouldn't have been able to get sleep if I knew. Forget it. If I was obsessed with this thing right here. I probably won't sleep tonight.
It's consumed me. It's a part of me. And knowing that I'll never be able to afford a decent office chair that supports human spines.
Yeah.
Forget it. Just put me out and make me be part of the Rhodes crew. Because I'm better off doing that than sitting at a subpar chair.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear you. It took me probably 3 years to decide on to get the chair I have now. Mm. And I had just a parade of like old worn out office chairs that I love. I still love. I can't bring myself to get rid of most of them. They're just piling up in the basement, you know?
That's what I picture. Just a pile of chairs.
But they're from, you know, they're from flea markets, estate sales, you know, that have collected along the way. But
Herman Miller's.
No, I wish.
Whatnot.
No, actually, I don't know. Are those actually good? I don't know. You see these new chairs, these Herman Miller's that they're charging $1,500 for. And all I see is a whole lot of plastic.
That's what your eyes do not betray you. I tell you that
I
much.
See myself. I was using a chair made out of metal for the, you know, last 10 years that by the time I got it, it was probably like 40 years old, you know, and it's still rolling. Those plastic things, no, they're not going to last.
They don't last.
No.
They don't last.
So, you know, life's a scam, ladies and gentlemen.
It sucks, man. Just like, whatever. In other news,
we might as well be walled up by a mad scientist in the bowels of his large house, you know? Just walled up.
What else?
Just some torches to keep us company, you know, and some other mad people.
Right. The only way you get to us is from behind the fireplace. Yeah. You know, that's what.
And we.
What else is there? What else is
there? That's a good point, though. You imagine coming out of that. I mean, this is spoilers for the Black Sleep that we're going to talk about, 1956. Imagine being locked up in there, God knows how long, and you see you're face to face with that giant fire. And it's disorienting too, because you're inside a fireplace behind the fire. God, I hope someone is there to hold my hand, because I'm going to be like, hey, you know, you get turned around in a mall. Out. You think you're going one way and you're going the other one. That's what it's going to be like. But
your
flesh is burning off.
You end up walking away from the Boskovs instead of towards.
Exactly. You're at Penny's. And you're like, God fucking damn it. Penny's.
Right.
I got to walk all the way back.
That's not where I parked.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you were the stupid idiot to wear, and you wore your winter jacket in the mall, even though it's 80 degrees in the mall, so hot. But it's winter time.
So hot.
All I can remember is when I get dropped off at the mall and I'm a teenager, mm-hmm. is being stupid enough to wear my jacket.
Yeah.
And I'm walking around the mall for 3 hours with my winter jacket and my back is soaked.
Are you doing that thing where it's the kids do where the jacket's just on your arms and it's hanging behind them?
Yes. Yes. My shoulders are splayed.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You know,
yeah.
I'm just like,
you're practicing good posture at a young age.
Right. Yeah. Because I just want to get some air to my back.
God forbid you take it off. Tie it around your waist.
Right.
No.
No way.
Kidding me?
Suffer through it.
Are you kidding me? The amount of looks I would get walking through the mall with something tied around my waist? End it. Just end it now.
I know. Forget it. They treat me like can't buy me love, kid. But in the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah. Before he can buy love.
Yeah. What about you, Chuck?
Boy.
Anything?
I guess I did do some stuff this week. I didn't watch any movies, which is no big surprise for me. I don't have time to watch movies. Maybe next year. I'll tell you what I did do, though. Surprisingly, you know, I went to see a wrestling show, WWE Raw, last Monday.
I remember.
Well,
I remember.
We didn't let the week pass before we went to another one, Dale.
Oh!
So Saturday, we went to the local
Beat 'em up best.
At the local YMCA.
The best.
Put on by Berkshire County's own truly independent wrestling, TIW. And we had a blast, Dale. Fantastic. The smell.
That's the best.
Dale, if I could box the smell of this gym and send it to you, you would, first off, you would never speak to me again. And then you would be like, wow, that's the smell of, you know, a 40-year-old YMCA gym. That's, you know, that looks original, you know, not, no one's redone anything. And it just has the smell of just sweaty basketballs just hanging in the air just forever.
The YMCA's barely making ends meet, let alone remodel. They can't remodel that thing.
Oh God, no.
There's no way.
Oh, this, I was in love with this building because it reminded me of the Y I went to like in the 80s. I was like, oh my God, this place is like original. It's everything looks the same that it probably did in 1988. It's great. But yeah, the smell just hanging. I mean, you know, it was filled with wrestling fans. And at first I was like, woo, you know, I expected it, you know, wrestling fans, sometimes they smell, let's be real here. But after a while I realized, no, this is the smell of this place. This is embedded. It's embedded in the walls.
There's no amount of kills to paint on that wall to get rid of.
No. Mm-mm. But anyway, so yeah, we went to a local wrestling show and it was so much fun. Crowd was into it. They had, they were selling bootleg pizza, you know, they had a crock pot full of hot dogs, candy.
Yes.
Just, you know, and all the local wrestlers came out and did their thing. It was fantastic.
They're the best, man. You get, because there's like two rows.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
You're either sitting in the front row or the back row because there's only two rows.
Every seat is fantastic.
It's the best. Yeah.
You're face to face.
I love it.
With these maniacs and all the little kids running up to slap their hands as they go around the ring, you know? And like, you know, it's fantastic. I thought I was like, cause I've been to a few local wrestling shows not up here. I haven't been to one up here. But it was pretty much, you know, the same experience. I was a little surprised cause the first bout we saw the men, you know, they actually worked out, not like their bodies were, and I was like, oh my God. Okay. This has a leg up on most local wrestling I've seen. But then as the matches go on, the schlubs start to come out and I'm like, all right, this is it. Yes. This is it.
Yeah.
Everyone left it in the ring. You know, you could see some of the seams, some of them, you know, they screwed up some of their spots, but it was fantastic. the one guy who got the biggest pop, I think because his whole family was there. It looked like he had like every cousin and nephew there just screaming. This guy named Rico. And he had like a big colorful hat. And Melissa looked him up afterwards, and we found out Rico just got back from Texas, where he trained at the Dustin Rhodes School of Wrestling.
Huge.
He put his whatever it is, $1,500 down, and he went through the training program.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Huge. That's huge. Yeah. And that's not even counting the airfare to get out there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, God knows where you have to, I mean, I don't know if they have, where do you sleep? You know? Do you sleep on the gym floor? Toughen yourself up? I don't know.
That's true. Yeah, maybe that's part of it's part of the rigmarole.
Yeah. The Rhodes family barn, sleeping on some hay.
Right.
Maybe. But yeah, it was great. My favorite guy, wrestler of the night. It was a 5-on-5 match that was wrestlers versus referees. But all the referees were just other wrestlers, I guess, that put on referee shirts. And it was a 5-on-5 match. But there was this one guy named the Music Man. I think his whole shtick was sort of like, he likes musicals, and he kind of like dressed like Elton John a little bit. He had like Elton John style, like 70s pink glasses. Fantastic. I love it. Oh God.
Wow.
I got to go back because I want to see more of him. And the other big thing they did was redneck, what do they call it? A redneck barroom brawl. They set up a fake bar in the corner of the gym. And all these redneck type characters got in there and had a fight.
Yeah.
Some of the walls came crashing down where the children were standing. We're like, oh, you know, we should have more security here to keep the children from getting destroyed. Some daring flips. They had a lot of breakable candy glass bottles to break on over each other's heads. That was pretty cool.
You got to appreciate that.
Yeah.
And spicing it up.
Yeah, the finale was a table break, but it wasn't, you could tell it wasn't a real table. I don't know. Because it was covered in a cloth. You couldn't, and it broke so easy. Like it wasn't even there.
Right.
So I don't know what they were doing there, but yeah. Only one injury that I saw. One guy looks like he twisted his ankle. They had to do some improv and change the match because it was a tag team match. You couldn't get back in there.
Yeah. Jeez. Yeah. But probably on the fly.
Yeah.
They made it happen.
They persevered. Huh? They did it. Yeah.
Truly independent wrestling is end of the road.
Yeah. That was the event. End of the road. Yeah. I did buy a raffle ticket to win the poster of End of the Road signed by all the wrestlers, but I did not win. So. Because there was some kid with like this kid sitting in the front row with just living life, Dale. He had two like replica belts that he had on each shoulder.
Wow.
He's just sitting there.
Yeah.
Talking smack to all the wrestlers coming out. He won like two of the raffles because he had the amount of raffle tickets this kid bought was insane.
Yeah. Probably spent all of his birthday money.
Probably. But now he's the king of wrestling over there, the Y.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Jeez. So. Wow. Well, good for you, man. That sounds amazing. You and Melissa had a blast.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. I highly recommend, you know, if you think there's no way there's local wrestling around me, just take a Google, look on Facebook. I guarantee you'll find some locals doing something, and it's a blast. It's a real blast.
Chuck's next evolution. Wrestling Chuck.
No. I would have been out of it by now, but Melissa's, she can't stop.
She's in it.
The amount of wrestling. We watch wrestling almost every night. It's insane. Got to keep up.
Wow. That's exciting, Chuck.
Thank you.
What else is exciting, Chuck, from the year 1956? What would be exciting to you?
1956? You know what would be exciting? Precisely. Is seeing a double feature of the Black Sleep with the Creeping Unknown, aka the Catermass experiment, which we did watch on this show. Isn't that funny?
This is funny.
This was Yeah, this was paired as a double bill, those two together.
Whoa.
So yeah, it's almost like we watched a double bill. But yeah, 1956, Black Sleep. What we got here, we got Dr. Gordon Ramsay. He's going to get executed because he ended up, the cops thought he killed a guy. He didn't really kill the guy, but when a mysterious, another scientist guy by the name of Sir Joel Cadman, he comes in. He's like, you know what? This sucks. I'm sorry you're going through this, but here, take this. It'll make the hanging go easier. You'll just be out of it a little bit. Takes it. Next morning, he's pronounced dead. They didn't even get to hang him. The officials are like, well, I don't know. He must have killed himself or had a heart attack. I don't know. He couldn't take it. He wakes up with Joel Cadman giving him a shot. He wakes up. He gave him medicine from the Far East called the Black. He calls it the Black Sleep. I can't remember what the name was. It was a wild name. And and he's basically turned Dr. Ramsay into an indentured servant of his to help him with his crazy brain surgery research he's doing in his castle. And you can just imagine how the relationship, it starts off on a high. He's very thankful to be alive and not be put to death for a murder he didn't commit. But boy, right. The stuff the horrors he sees in this castle that Basil Rathbone is doing to these poor people. Things just generally go downhill. This is The Black Sleep from 1956.
The ancients who wrote in the Sanskrit tongue gave first mention of the strange drug we call Nimdandhera. This drug was first introduced into the city of Lahore in the Punjab in the 703rd year after the death of the prophet, praise his memory. This drug has the power to place a man's body and limbs into helplessness, and his soul sleeps, nor does he feel pain. He is as a dead man, yet is not of the dead.
I couldn't help but keep thinking about, you know, Dr. Gordon, you know, he's got a second lease on life. Sir Joel is a gift from up above, you know?
Yeah.
And then, you know, to find out how truly enslaved this poor guy is, the more you find out about what kind of experiments Sir Joel is doing to get the kind of results that he's looking for. I mean, this poor guy is stuck.
Yeah.
He's stuck.
Yeah,
that's all I could think about.
You know what I could think about though is when he's woken up by Basil Rathbone, and the scene of Basil explaining to him what is happening, it felt like a comedy sketch in some sense. How long it took to explain it and for him to like get it through his head what's happening. You could have filled an hour and a half of just that, of him explaining this miracle drug that makes your body seem like it's dead. But if you give him the antidote within 12 hours, you wake back up.
Geez, I hadn't thought about that, but it is, you know, it's only a 62, what is it? 60, hour and 22 minute movie. So
yeah.
That's true. It's a long time. Yeah.
Between
Sir Basil Rathbone, Gordon Ramsay, and Odo the Gypsy.
Odo.
Lot of double explaining, triple explaining.
Oh, yeah.
And assuring the general public watching this movie that this stuff, don't worry, this stuff comes from East India with all the other mysticism, all the other stuff that you'll never understand.
Yeah.
In your lifetime.
Yeah. This is, you know, I feel like I've watched this movie a billion times. This is there was something in the 30s, 40s, 50s where I really wish I was like a scholar, because I feel like there's something embedded with like the whole like you know, we still have it today of, you know, skepticism of medicine and doctors.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's, you watch any horror movie of this era and it's 80% chance you're getting a mad doctor who doesn't want to follow the humane procedures, and he's trying to skip ahead, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
Just give me, I need victims.
That's true.
I need to do brain surgery and I need them now. I don't care how you get them, Odo. Just get them here.
Right. Yeah.
And I'll pay you 15 pounds or whatever he's paying them.
Chuck, that's a great observation and probably a huge, it's got to have a huge impact on the public psyche, right? You know?
Yeah. I mean, I don't.
To see just how unscrupulous medical practices could be and how you could end up easily a victim and be lobotomized and have your brain worked on while you're half asleep.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I want to be a scholar though. Cause I don't know if it's coming from the movie out or if it's reflecting heavy skepticism within the, you know, of medicine at that time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a good point.
But not to take away from your point of it having an effect. I'm sure it did. You know, we know media has an effect. But wow. I mean, first off, great pick. I mean, this is like, you know, this is almost my happy, you know, this is my happy place. These types of movies. I the more and more I see of these, I keep thinking I'll be bored and I'm just sick of them, but I just love them. I love them. It's like watching someone tell the same story over and over again, but with like slightly different elements. It's great. And Basil Rathbone, if you've never seen a Basil Rathbone movie, this guy, we talk a lot about people having it, Dale, but this Basil Rathbone, you listen to this guy speak, you watch his face muscles move and the words come out of his, it's something else, this guy. I love watching Basil do his thing.
Waiting only for you to come to the subject and you bring me a corpse. Your usefulness is over. Very well. You shall substitute. You shall be my next subject.
Hypnotizing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of a great point. I don't know how many other Basil Rathbone movies I've seen. I probably have. I just don't. We probably have for the show, and I still just don't remember. But he is nefarious in just a classy way. He sells it in such a great way where he could be charming to the local constables of Scotland Yard. And also, you know, like, believe his own bullshit. So he's not the bad guy, but because he's such, you know, he believes it in such a classy way. We're all like,
yeah,
believing his BS because of his charisma.
And you do, you know, I think the movie does a good job of, because the motivation that, you know, he is a scientist. Science is his motivation to help people in the end. But they give him a personal quest, and that is his lovely wife is in a coma. She's been in a coma for 8 months. And he is determined to map the brain so that he can open her brain up, fiddle around in there and fix her,
get her
waking up. Hanging out again, you know, because he misses her.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and there's a touching scene where he's like talking to her. She's, you know, and she's in a coma. And he's just like, look, if I don't do this, I'm going to destroy myself. Because I can't, you know, it's not worth it. I can't fail, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Do you ever say that to your wife, Dale? Yeah.
Sometimes when I'm, you know, I'm standing over her while she sleeps, it's, I feel like I'm in the same place at times, you know, it's creepy how the parallels just run so deep, but also it puts you in the corner of having some weird sympathy for doing what's right for the person you love the most. Mm-hmm. Even there was a moment where it almost slipped by, but he is having the conversation with the guy he indenture servituted, Gordon, Dr. Gordon, where he doesn't believe that the state should murder people.
Oh yeah,
except for medical practice, like the further advancement of science and research. And it's almost like, you know, he didn't quite catch what he, that was just like, because he's a man of science, he probably thinks that, but obviously he's very much grounded in that, planted his flag in that totally. For sure.
Yeah. And it's the charming way he says it. And it's why, you know, we see it today. You know, we see, people that are deemed successful because they have money and they say something insane, but because it's coming out of their mouth in our society is like, well, they have that much money. They must be smart.
Right.
Their morals are more correct than mine. So yeah. Okay. That sounds reasonable. Even though he just said, I don't think the state should kill people unless I need to figure out how the brain works, then I'm going to. Right. That's okay.
Unless I need to further diagram the brain and help my wife who's been under for 8 months. Like the place they end up is his secret lab. Yeah. That's wherever. It's a stately manor, and he's got Scotland Yard believing it's a beautiful place that nothing nefarious could be going on. And when Dr. Gordon first gets there, he's like, wow, this is all this here. This is perfect for conducting research. Yeah. And it's like, none of it's sanctioned. I know, you know, it's off in the middle of nowhere for a reason.
Yeah. That's why it's always like this in these movies where it's always someone, you know, it probably goes back to Frankenstein. He was working away in his personal his personal castle or wherever. And it's like, you know, maybe that's what it was like back then. You know, it's just like you get your license as a doctor, you know, you go to the medical school and then you can just do whatever. Like,
yeah, that's true. Like, especially in the mid 1800s where even this movie took place.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, I guess it's all like how much medical knowledge is grounded in the fact that people did unscrupulous things to people, you know, to whatever. You know, but this just kind of like documents it in the most horrific way, but it's grounded, right?
Yeah.
It's grounded.
And that, you know, and that probably fed into people's real life fears of doctors at the time. Cause it's like, what, you went to school and you say you can fix stuff you're some sort of shaman now. Yeah. Right.
Right.
You're not going to open, you're not going to bleed me cause I have a cold. No, thanks. You know?
dude, yes, exactly. Because they paid to get to open up some cadavers and they wash their hands before, like that's what like serves them. They wash their hands before, troubleshooting somebody's sickness. Like that's what separates them from the complete barbarians because technically just because they're doing it with surgical tools, they're doing barbaric things.
I was surprised they washed their hands. I actually kind of wanted to research.
Not long enough.
No. They didn't even roll their sleeves up.
No.
The amount of germs on those cuffs, everywhere, all over the place.
Yeah. It's true. Those cuffs getting dragged everywhere.
I loved when they were like, they had all the diagrams of brains and they were like mapping them out. But I was just like, man, they got a long way to go. Because they had what, like four lines pointing to areas of the brain? Of the ones they figured out, you know, this one's maybe the limbs, this one's reasoning. Right. But come on, I mean, but there's a lot of brain there, right? There's a lot of stuff.
It's just gray matter.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like you can't just point to one lump in the gray matter. That lump's not the same for everybody.
No.
It's very, I didn't feel at ease about these diagrams. And if this is what they're working on when they, you know, shove the needle behind somebody's eye and, you know, swish it all around, like, what are they doing? What's going on?
Oh man. What'd you think of the surgery scene when we first get into the lab and he's cutting open that guy's head?
Yeah, I honestly, I couldn't, I had to think, this is 1956, but how much of a limit was this pushing at the time?
I was surprised.
You're working on a human being and its brain and it's leaking cerebral fluid.
That was
how much how much in taste was that pushed at the time?
Yeah. Cause you don't see any cutting or anything, but I was shocked when they cut to the open brain. I was like, whoa, okay.
I did not expect that.
I did not expect that at all.
And it's clearly like on top of a, you know, a man's skull. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, it was pretty horrific in the best way possible, that the fact that they were able to push the boundaries like that.
I did love that cerebral fluid though. That when he's cutting around in the brain, it starts flowing. Dr. Gordon's like, "Hey, I thought this guy was dead. What are you doing? This guy's alive."
I know.
Man.
I know. That was the way that he finds out is the way we find out.
Yeah.
And I thought that was amazing. Cause I would have just been like, "Oh, this brain's leaking fluid." You know, I would have never suspected it's because it was a living person. I thought it was an amazing reveal.
Yeah, it was cool. It was really cool.
Vile. and Sir Joel's like, yeah, he's under the black sleep. Did we not think that could be positive? Yeah. Like, you know, I'm trying to do research here. I can't use a dead body right now.
Do you remember a couple of days
ago?
The
black sleep, of course.
Remember a couple of days ago when I explained the black sleep to you for like 12 hours after you came back from death?
Right, you just didn't seem to get it, and maybe that's why you're not getting it now. But
okay,
just assume that I use the black sleep in everything. Every time,
if I need, you know, maybe my wife's in a coma because you know she had a headache, and I said, "Hey, how about some black sleep to help you go to bed tonight?" And I forgot to give her the antidote.
Right, that was before you know I really started utilizing the black sleep for. More and more. Like I was just a child playing with childish things back then with the black sleep, but now I'm really sick and I get crazy with it.
Let's talk about Odo. This guy, he was the local gypsy. Where are gypsies from? What's a Romani man? Odo, unsavory character. Also tattoo artist. Also,
yeah.
I mean, he seemed like he had his finger in a lot of pies. But for Basil Rathbone, he procured live specimens for his surgeries. And I was so happy that we got to see Odo's lair, his little shop.
His little gypsy shop,
Watching him do his thing. Laura, a woman who's, you know, down on her luck. You know, she's on the street begging. He lures her to the tattoo parlor and is like, "Oh, no, I just want to sketch your face. I'll pay you." Oh my God. Oh. And then she's on the bed. She's got the black sleep or whatever. He pulls that lever. That bed goes right into the wall. Who installed that for Odo, Dale?
My God. I know. I know.
He must have
it's
blackmail on some carpenter. You know?
Like that was the most expensive.
So expensive.
In that hole that he lived in.
It was all like, it must be a mountain of cranks and dials back there and springs, you know, make that action happen. Mm-hmm.
I loved it. It was, I liked his, and then he went so far as to tattoo her leg.
That was the one thing. He tattooed every person he brought to the good doctor. Why?
Kind of hubris. What kind of hubris is that?
The same tattoo, right? It's like he's like daring the cops to catch him. You know?
Yeah. It's like you leave a calling card? What are you doing?
It's a cool tattoo. As soon as I saw it, I was like, I kind of want to get that tattoo now.
Wow.
There's
lucky.
That's the first image I love from this movie, but the second image I love, Dale, I cracked up. I cackled out loud. When I saw that framed photo of Tor Johnson before he's been turned into a beast.
With the moneylender as the moneylender?
Yes. Oh,
Dr.
My
Curry.
God. I would buy a novelty replica of that framed photo. Like if someone has access to that and they can scan it and we can make prints of that. Just Tor in that wig and his suit. I couldn't. Oh, it was the funniest thing I've ever seen. I loved it so much.
Oh, yeah. Man. Oh, man. Yeah. Oh, F and A, man. God, it was great. His name was Curry or something, wasn't it? Like,
Curry.
Ed Curry or something.
He made some joke about
the moneylender.
Yeah. made some joke about.
I like how you were just in 1850. You're a moneylender. You don't need like, you don't need to be, you know, FDIC backed. You just, you know, you're whatever. You're a moneylender. Yeah. Unscrupulous.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the stars. So Basil Rathbone, of course. But we have Lon Chaney Jr. He plays Mungo. So he is was formerly a great doctor that both of the main characters knew. But it seems like our Basil Rathbone, you know, brought him up to fix. He was like paralyzed. The story is he was paralyzed on one side. They brought him up there. He operated, but he fixed it, but he made him stupid. That's the best way I can say it. And yeah. He's running around this manor attacking his own daughter. Just anytime he locks eyes with her, he's just like, I'm going to kill
every
that.
Time.
I'm going to kill that lady.
He gets blind. Just he gets blind with murderous rage. Like what goes on through that poor man's head now?
God, he looked like a mess.
I need to kill her. I will stop at nothing to kill her. Nothing. There's barely anything that can stop me from doing this. Barely.
Just this other lady who, for some reason, I like the sound of her voice. She's the only one who can calm me down.
Right.
I don't have any other relation to her, but here we are. We have Bella. Now this is rough stuff because Bella's looking frail. This is his last movie. He died the year they shot this. So.
Oh wow! Yeah. This is his last movie.
He was on the way out, and you can tell like they don't let him talk. Like I mean, his character's mute, but I don't know. I can't help it.
What do you think?
They were like, we can't have this guy with this Hungarian accent stinking up the place. We're just going to have him mute. I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe the character was mute before they cast him. I don't know. But it just, it's hard to see these fallen stars who were once big box office draws now, you know, relegated to playing the butler, you know?
Yeah. It was weird that they were just like little sideshow characters.
But Bella was
interesting that he really did look frail
totally
in this. And he's definitely aged. You could see it on his face. Like he is far from Dracula at this point. And you could just see when he opens his mouth, it's just black in there. Like he doesn't show his teeth. And I don't know if it's like his teeth are always never the best, but and maybe it's just the way he just chooses to act by. They're just like, don't pretend like you're mute in this movie, but don't actually mouth the words you're trying to say. Just open and close your mouth rapidly.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
What are you saying?
The doctor was great.
Somebody's out there.
Figuring out what he was saying, though. He was so good at it.
Yeah.
It was like Timmy talked to Lassie.
That's a mirror.
You know. Incredible.
Yes, exactly.
I guess that's it for the big stars. Those are the three big ones. And Tor Johnson, which we know from
Tor,
Ed Wood movies. He's only really in at the end when the big reveals. The good doctor gets into these back passageways in the manor, and he finds all the bad doctor's victims strung up in the darkness. Dungeon-like conditions, and one of them's Tor Johnson. They put those opaque white contact lenses in him again. Why was this his thing?
Poor guy.
I mean, it looks cool.
I wonder. He looks cool. I wonder if they did this just so people would know who he was from other movies or something.
Yeah.
But it's like no, he probably requested to not be in the whole movie because he just can't do those contact lenses for too long.
It looked like he legit couldn't see. Like the way he was like moving around the room, like
I
feeling as well. I was like, I don't think he can see anything.
Right. And his eyes is just like in 1950, I wouldn't even trust an optician to tell me that's safe.
I know.
Especially one in Hollywood's pocket, right? Yeah. Like
he probably told Tori he could go home and sleep in this. Yeah, you're fine.
Yeah,
probably. Just leave them in.
Oh, these are made of asbestos, but you're going to be
fine. They'll dissolve after a while.
Yeah, they'll just, they'll turn into a, you know, like a paste, but then it'll all go away.
Yeah. God. Oh,
I wonder about the John Carradine character.
Oh yeah, I forgot John Carradine wasn't. He was the guy like yelling about infidels, right? And worried about the crusade situation. Wow, he was fantastic.
What a character.
Oh.
Yeah, what a character.
He lit up the room when he appeared. I mean, this whole scene of all the freaks hidden up in the castle made the movie. Mm. I mean, I enjoyed the movie, but when they did this freak show, I was like, yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
one after another. They were going through a haunted house. One worse than the next. That lady with, she was like, she had bald patches, but then she had hair growing all over her body in crazy places. Love that.
That was great. That was great.
She's just
laughing
at them.
I like how the implication is, you know, you get brain surgery, you have slim chances to be normal after. Yeah. You when you're coming out of that surgery, you are coming out physically and mentally far from human.
You're either going to be totally inept or you're going to be an X-Men, basically. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who else was...
Just an aside, yeah. John Carradine's Letterboxd... He's got 266 film credits in Letterboxd.
Wow.
That's insane. In total, he holds 351 film and television credits, making him one of the most prolific English-speaking actors of all time. That's crazy.
Man.
Good for him. I've seen 5.
Oh, yeah. Let's see what I've seen. I've seen 9.
Wow. I mean, the guy has been in some iconic movies. The Howling, Stagecoach, Secret of NIMH.
Yeah.
The Sentinel we watched for the show.
Yeah, we watched that. Oh, he's in House of Frankenstein we watched for the show.
This dude was working all of his life.
He was in Captive Wild Woman and Jungle Woman, which I just watched a few months ago. Which actually shares the director of this movie, Reginald Le Bourg. What else? All the freaks were great. Go watch it for the freaks. How about that fire stunt? The one of the doctor's assistant who her back catches on fire and runs down the hallways screaming.
Oh,
that was impressive.
She was on fire.
Yeah, that was real.
Or somebody was on fire.
Somebody was on fire. That was awesome.
That was amazing. That was the most exciting. I mean, Sir Joel meets like the lamest ignominious end. He doesn't bite it from his captors at all. He just falls off of the stairs.
Holding his...
Another movie.
His wife is in a coma. So they both die.
Oh my
die.
God, I know. She doesn't even know.
I know.
She's getting like picked up, tossed around for 8 months. She's just been, a rag doll.
Yeah. How did they keep people in a coma alive in the 1850s, Dale?
Probably
they just brew porridge down their throat
opium.
Every day.
They probably like just shoot them up. Yeah, like opium and just weird old ancient blood transfusion machines.
A lot of nutrients in opium back then. Be surprised.
Or they at least thought so, yeah. John Carradine in Monster Go Home, 1966.
Oh my God, Dale, the amount of times I've almost picked that movie, by the way, for this show.
Yeah.
Someday.
Let's put it at the top of the heap, close to the top. Great movie. I thought it was a great movie. I had a good time with this.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. We need a better scan of this. This movie looked like dog shit, by the way. All right, Dale, let's reach into that ghastly mailbag, into that black hole. Let's put our flesh-colored flesh into that hole and feel around. What do you feel, Dale? You feel anything?
I'm putting it in there with no glove now.
You did wash your hands, though, in a basin.
I did
in the middle of the room.
For 1.5 seconds.
the bowl that you used to wash up when you woke up in the morning?
Let's see. 315-544-0966. That's the official Bat and Spider hotline where you can call in.
Sorry, my posture. I forgot my posture.
Thank you, Chuck. Posture check. And batandspiderpod@gmail.com for your emailings. Email us. How about those podcasts that have SpeakPipe?
Huh? What is that?
Chuck, you know what that's? You never listen to a podcast and are like, send us something through our SpeakPipe.
No, I don't know what you're saying.
I don't know.
What is that?
I don't know. Okay, forget it. Forget it.
I'll Google it. Speak.
I don't know. It's just like this weird, additional service for people who don't know how to use voice memos, I guess. I don't know.
Maybe it's for millennials. Sorry, I was going to make some larger joke, but wow, it looks like Gmail, the interface. SpeakPipe. Wow. Now, are these podcasts big podcasts, Dale? These fairly popular ones? Cuz I wouldn't be surprised if SpeakPipe's out there podcasts to use this. Yeah, try this out. You know, we'll sponsor the show. You know, I don't know how to do this, but
maybe this your SpeakPipe account rep is combing the podcast.
I gotta say,
charts.
SpeakPipe. Don't like saying it. Don't want to say it ever again. So maybe I'll close this tab. We'll forget about it.
We don't have any typed emails, Chuck, but I think we have a couple of voicemails. I'm bringing it up now. I'm bringing up the old.
Speak tube.
Yeah. Fuck tube. Okay. There we go. First up.
All I have to say is tube.
Wow.
Wow. Was that that was more like a tubey ghoul. Right?
Certainly was. Wow. That's not our friend, the Tubi Werewolf. No. That is that's somebody celebrating Tubi along with us because this movie was on Tubi this week.
I tell you, our five listeners, they love it. Love it when we pick a Tubi movie.
Oh, yeah. The way they circle their wagons around us.
Electricity in the air.
Support. Chuck, next up.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Wow.
Oh my gosh.
That one
our
was
right now.
That was
melting.
Spooky. That was spooky. You got a little bit of like hiss in there. You know, it sounded like a creepy old recording.
I think he knows. I think they know what they're doing.
Dale, is that you? Have you been calling into the show howling?
What?
Is that what? You? You can tell me.
Chuck? Chuck, do you think I spend any amount of time outside of this Zoom call on this show? Come on.
Oh, forgive me.
I think that answers your question
there. You're right. Do we have any other segments on this show?
Well, I mean,
imagine if we started adding segments, Dale, like now. Let's just add some segments.
Would we introduce them as new segments or would we be like, so now is our, our recurring segment, like Dave would do.
Just like they're, they've been here all along.
Right. If we had segments, I don't know. We'd have to cut something else out.
No, yeah, I'm not.
We'd be going for an hour and 45 minutes.
But it is time, right, for me to pick a movie. Okay, Dale, I'm ready.
Yes, I knew you would be ready.
Now, technically, I think I've seen this movie before, probably when it came out on video. But I was probably drinking with my friend Ryan while we watched it, and I don't really remember much of it. But this is a beloved movie. People love this movie. I think we've discussed it. I don't think you've seen it. So I'm going to go with it. From 2002, May, May. Directed by Lucky McKee.
Be careful. She just might take your heart. Psychological horror about a lonely young woman traumatized by a difficult childhood and her increasingly desperate attempts to connect with the people around her. Wow. It's one of the more recent movies we've watched.
Yeah, 2002. I mean, I don't know how many times we've gone above the year 2000, actually. It's pretty rare.
Yeah. This is breaking some ground.
Yeah, but this is one I've been wanting to knock off my list probably since I, you know, tried to watch it the first time, and I, whatever that night was, I don't remember it. I don't remember it at all, but I know, people I love this movie. So I've always wanted to, give it a proper go, and, why not here? Why not here on Barton Spittle? How about Barton Spittle? That'll be the new one.
I think if anything, Barth and Spindle.
That's good.
Let's watch the movie May.
Yeah. Cue the Tubi werewolf, because
on Tubi. There
you go. Yeah, May next week. Maybe we should start hinting, Dale, because there are only so many weeks. We're coming up to July, and July, if you're a listener to this podcast, you know, hot stuff happens in July. So just gird your loins. We may sleep on a lot of things, but we didn't forget. If you're wondering, we didn't forget.
I don't think you guys probably didn't forget out there either. No. So it's only right. It's only right that we treat you with respect and start teasing this out.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah. So,
you know,
watch out.
Great.
But yeah, everyone watch May with us and tell us how we're stupid for not watching it. Actually, our listeners aren't like that. We don't have pretentious listeners that do that.
Thank God.
Yeah, it's great.
We don't.
You're all awesome.
We love you all so, so much. Thank you for the feedback. Thank you for engaging with us in our Discord and other platforms. Thanks for sharing the show. Thanks for reviewing us. Go to batandspider.com if you folks haven't joined Discord yet, because it's free and it's awesome. And check out our Ko-fi page, ko-fi.com/batandspider for exclusive content. That's awesome too.
Ooh.
Until next week for episode 161's May. We'll see you then.
Ta-ta for now. Our theme song was created by Toby Forsman of Whipsong Music. Find out more at whipsongmusic.com.
This is a Tape Deck Podcast.